Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. So does belonging to Christ help you in any way? Does his love comfort you at all? Do you share anything in common because of the Holy Spirit? Has Christ ever been gentle and loving toward you? If any of these things has happened to you, then agree with one another. Have the same love. Be one in spirit and in the way that you think and act. By doing this, you will make my joy complete. Don't do anything only to get ahead. Don't do it because you are proud. Instead, be humble. Value others more than yourselves. None of you should look out just for your own good. Each of you should also look out for the good of others. As you deal with one another, you should think and act as Jesus did. In his very nature, he was God. Jesus was equal with God, but Jesus didn't take advantage of that fact. Instead, he made himself nothing. He did this by taking on the nature of a servant. He was made just like human beings. He appeared as a man. He was humbled and obeyed God completely. And he did this even though it led to his death. Even worse, he died on a cross. So God lifted him up to the highest place. God gave him the name above every other name. And when the name of Jesus is spoken, everyone will kneel down to worship him. Everyone in heaven and everyone under earth will kneel down to worship him. Everyone will say that Jesus is Lord, and God the Father will receive glory. My dear friends, you have always obeyed God. You obeyed while I was with you, and you have obeyed even more while I am not with you. So continue to work out your own salvation. Do it with fear and trembling. God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out his good purposes. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, our Christ, our counselor, our rock and our redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We carry many relationships in our lives. We are children and parents, siblings and friends, coworkers and neighbors. Each of those relationships draws out a different part of who we are. My best friend knows me in a way that none of you do. My family of origin sees sides of me that no one else does because they knew me when I was a young child. But they may not know a complete version of me if they haven't stayed in touch and helped me grow as an adult. And my therapist, my counselor, knows me in a way that no one else does either. And she can say things to me that nobody else can in a way that makes me reevaluate my perspective. The truth is, no single relationship captures the whole of who we are. Last week, we talked about God as two parts of the Trinity, the Father and the Son, the divine parent and the only begotten Son of God. I am not a parent, but I am a child. And I know the intimacy that only a parent and a child can have. And there are children in my life who I love deeply. My sister and my best friend, who is like a sister to me, each have two kids. Charlie, my niece, is 7 and Lucas is 10. Sammy is 8 and Jordan is 4. I adore these kiddos. I feel so protective of them. I have watched them grow, and I only want the best things for them. I see their parents worry and manage every detail of their lives. I got to teach Charlie how to draw stars. You know, the just five-pointed star. I got to watch Lucas become an awesome soccer player. I get to listen to Sammy learn how to read. It's really precious because he goes in the mornings and he sits and reads to my dogs. And I get to scoop Jordan up every time he sees me because even though he lives in my house and we see him every other week at least, every time he sees me, it's like I haven't seen him in a month, and he runs and jumps into my arms. I see their parents shaping their lives and teaching them and helping them know how to exist in the world. But when I think about God, I don't always think about God as father or parent first. I think of God as good and holy and generous and kind and present and faithful. I think of God beyond any human relationships I have because God is so much more. Which doesn't mean that I don't have a relationship with God. It means that I don't think God is far off because God is the very air that I breathe. God knows me better than any friend or parent ever could. But whenever I do think of God as a parent, I think of the intense way that the best parents love their children. They want what's best for them, and they know what's best for their children. And yet there's a helplessness to parenting, especially once they get past their toddler years. You can choose what sports or activities you sign them up for, but you can't choose who their friends are. You can't make their classmates be nice to them. You can't prevent every scratch and fall. You can't make sure no one hurts their heart. And then I think about the way that God loves each and every human being on this entire planet, this terrestrial ball, and my mind and my heart begin to explode, especially when I consider the ways that we as human beings do harm to one another. What Paul echoes in this passage is how God wants us to get along. My compassion fatigue for the helplessness God must feel as God who has all power gave us free will and lets us make our own mistakes. And then, because there was nothing else God could do, God emptied God's self into a helpless baby. God humbled God's self into a human child as the person of Jesus. And even though Jesus existed with God as God, Jesus never took advantage of his godness. He never used it to make the world do what he thought was best, even though he was tempted to. Because God never wanted control. God wants a relationship with you, and the relationship that God has with you will be different than the relationship that God has with me, because that's what it means to be human and to have relationships. All of our relationships are different. It's like that with my niece and my nephews. I love those babies with all my heart, and my relationship with each of them is different because they're different people. That's why Scripture gives us so many names for God. Over the past few weeks, we've explored some of them. El Roy, the God who sees me. Yahweh, the great I am. Father and Son, the divine parent and beloved child. Today we turn to the Lord and Counselor. There are so many names that help us glimpse who God is. In times of need, we cry out to El Shaddai, God Almighty, the God who is enough, our refuge and our strength. In loneliness, we call on Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. In prayer, we whisper, Abba, Father, our divine parent. When we are lost, we lean on the counselor who comes alongside us, who can say things in a way that no one else can. When the powers of this world seem too strong, we declare Jesus is Lord. And at the beginning and the end of all things, we trust in the Alpha and the Omega, the message of revelation, God wins. We need names because God meets us in every circumstance, and all of them point back to the one who humbled himself, was exalted, and even given the name above every name. Every name tells us something about God's relationship with us. Each one catches the light differently, like a facet of a diamond, but they all reveal the same brilliance. Whatever name we call on, El Roy, Yahweh, Abba, Emmanuel, all of them lead us back to the one truth, Jesus is Lord. Paul is pleading with the Philippian church from prison, and he's writing to them and to us to tell us what it means that Jesus is Lord. The Living Bible translation suggests Paul is asking these questions. Is there any such thing as Christians cheering each other up? Do you love me enough to help me? Does it mean anything to you that we are siblings in Christ, sharing the same spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic at all? Paul sounds like a parent as he says, if you care about me, you'll make me truly happy by loving each other and agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, working together with one heart and one mind. For God's sake, just get along. We are of the same mind when we sing together. We are of the same mind when we pray together, the Lord's Prayer. As we participate in expressions of our faith, we are of the same mind as Christ, but Paul calls us to let the same mind be in you who was in Christ. Jesus, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his right as God. Instead, Jesus was obedient to God's will in all that he did and said. Like when he flipped tables, he was of the same mind as God. When Jesus challenged the Pharisees and tax collectors and Samaritans, he was of the same mind as God. When Jesus welcomed tax collectors and Samaritans, he was of the same mind as God. All these things Jesus did were counter to the respectable culture of his time. All of these things Jesus did were of the same mind of God. According to theologian Robert Mulholland, a disciple is someone who is in the process of being conformed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. Are God's ways like our ways? No, they are as different from our ways as the sky is from the earth. If we are of the same mind as Christ, then the way we live should look different than the ways of the world, than the ways of division and exclusion, than the ways of profit and greed. When everyone else is arguing and fighting, we should be different. Think about the way you interact with people, especially on social media. To confess that Jesus is Lord is not just to say a title, it's to declare that Christ is our ultimate allegiance, higher than our political identities, our cultural identities, even higher than our own self-interests. Jesus is Lord. Whatever name we call on, El Roy, Yahweh, Abba, Emmanuel, all of them lead us back to this one truth, Jesus is Lord. But we aren't alone in this. God, who is at work in you, enabling you to both will and to work for God's purpose and pleasure. This is where the counselor comes in. We don't just bow our knee and confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. When we surrender our lives to the Lord, the Spirit of God is at work in us to shape our hearts and lives so that we actually live like it. The same Spirit who hovered over creation, the same Spirit Jesus promised as counselor and advocate is at work in us. The Spirit empowers us to have the same mind as Christ, to move from selfish ambition to a self-giving love. The Spirit, as our counselor, will help us be more like Christ, to see the world and people who are different from us the way God sees them. How different might the world be when we have the same mind as Christ, when we consider the other, those who are bad or wrong, those who we consider bad and wrong as better than ourselves? What would that even look like? It might look like Jesus in the garden, being arrested for crimes he did not commit, defending and healing the soldier that Peter attacked. Jesus considered that soldier better than himself and better than his beloved disciple. Jesus emptied himself into human likeness, into poverty as a refugee, and allowed himself to be wrongfully convicted and executed. And he did that because he regarded all of us as better than his sinless self. If we as Christians treat whoever we see as other the way Christ treats us, with unwarranted grace and compassion and mercy, then I'm confident we'd see a change in the world. And that change would start in each of us. And it might look like God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. Paul says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That confession isn't just for some faraway day. It begins here and now as we allow the Spirit to shape our lives. We may never speak every name of God. We may never capture the fullness of who God is. But from Elroy to Yahweh, to Abba and Emmanuel, we are reminded that the God who is beyond every name still calls us beloved. So may we surrender our lives, lift our voices, and let our lives confess this truth, that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Let us pray. King of kings, Lord of lords, all power is in your name. We thank you for your presence that surrounds us, for your Spirit that fills us, that you lead us and guide us, that any desire we have to follow God's will comes from you. God, help us to be more like you in all that we think and say and do. Help us to be agents of change in this broken world which you have sacrificed yourself for, that we might know your love. God, we pray for those who are sick, who are hurting, who are broken, who are grieving, who are alone, who are unhoused, who are depressed, who are desperate. God, we pray that your Spirit would fall, that the people who need to be around them would cover them, would support them, would lift them up. God, help us to consider others before ourselves. And help us as we pray together the prayer that leads us here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you, to feed the body, mind, and spirit, while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.